In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. These are the words that we hear on Palm Sunday, year after year after year, for so many centuries. But do we have any idea just how fickle those words are? Do we have any idea that they are not, at this point, a prelude to resurrection, but a prelude to abandonment, to the disillusion of the apostolic band, to the abandonment of the Lord by all of His followers? The words are indeed of a two-part nature. On the one hand, they proclaim a very great truth, that when Jesus Christ enters Jerusalem today, He is the King of glory. He is the Creator of the universe, riding on the foal of an ass coming into Jerusalem. But at the same time, this wasn't simply because of that acknowledgement by the crowd, because they realized it deep in their hearts. No, this was because that they had witnessed something that spurred them on to make such a proclamation, and that just as quickly they would forget everything that they had seen, everything that they had heard, and would completely turn on the Lord. Palm Sunday is, of course, a great feast of the church, but an equally great feast is the one that is coupled with it, which we celebrated yesterday, which celebrates the raising of Lazarus from the tomb. Because it was this miracle that inspired the crowds to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. It was this incredible story that many people saw, but which many more people heard about, which led the crowds to come and follow Him. They were hopeful. They were looking for a Savior. They figured if there was a man that could raise someone from the dead, certainly this same man would be able to overthrow the Roman authorities. This same man would be able to change their political circumstances. But when it became obvious that this is not the reason that Jesus was there, they turned on Him. But it doesn't negate this great presage of the resurrection that Jesus does when He comes to the tomb of Lazarus. Who was Lazarus? Well, he was the brother of Mary and Martha. And he was good friends with Jesus. We don't know exactly the details of their relationship, of how the Lord became involved with this family. We just know that he loved Lazarus very much, and that he essentially allowed Lazarus to die in order that the power of God might be made manifest to everyone. And yet when Jesus comes before his tomb, he kneels down, and those two poignant words in the gospel, Jesus wept because he loved so much. And oftentimes we think that as Christians, when someone dies, that we shouldn't really weep because we know that they're going to be with the Lord, that they're actually going to be better off. But it doesn't negate the very real human feelings that we have for the loss. And Jesus is, in essence, here giving his approbation to these feelings by kneeling down and weeping before the tomb of Lazarus. But of course, he then prays to the Father that those watching may experience some of what the resurrection power of God is going to give all of them. And so he stands and says, "Take away the stone." And the people are saying, "What? He's been in there 4 days. Take it away. Are you kidding? Take away the stone." And they rolled away the stone. And no doubt that the odor was terrible. It must have been terrible in that climate. And yet he stands before that tomb and utters again those great words, "Lazarus, come forth." And immediately the man comes forth, still wrapped up and all of the swaddling bands that were proper for burial at the time. What a sight that must have been. Can you even imagine such a thing? And then, of course, we know that Jesus wept once more. He wept as he was going into Jerusalem. He wept for Jerusalem, the city that he loved so very, very much. And as he comes in and everyone cuts down palms and other parts of trees and throws them in front of him, symbols of peace, and crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And Jesus didn't stop them, although he knew what was going to happen, because it was right that they do what they were doing. And it's right that we do what we are doing, because today the Lord enters into Jerusalem. Today we cry out in the same way, "Hosanna in the highest," uniting ourselves with those people that did the same thing all those years ago. It is an eternal moment, a moment that will never end, and one that is recreated for us every single year. Notice the ebb and flow that we have here. We start with degradation, death with Lazarus. Then we move to resurrection, exaltation. Then more exaltation when the Lord goes into Jerusalem. And then yet it's followed by more unspeakable degradation before the Lord's resurrection actually occurs. This is why people often ask, and I've heard it many times over the years, "Father, why these long Holy Week services? Why do we spend so much time reading the Gospels and standing in church and praying? And you know, I have such a hard time concentrating, and this is so difficult." Well, the Lord says that if we want to follow Him, if we want to be like Him, we must suffer like Him. We must engage in His passion. And these long services that we have this week are a way of offering us that. We may not have to run and hide from the authorities. We may not have to suffer the things that He did. But by going through these services, bit by bit, step by step, following Him through this entire week as He makes this journey to the cross, we are uniting ourselves to His passion by doing this. And any suffering that we may incur because we have to be somewhere where we don't really want to be, we've got other things to do, we have things that perhaps are even necessary to do, but no, we're going to go to church instead. We come and unite our own suffering, even slightly, even just the tiniest bit, even though it's really not suffering, it's more just selfishness on our part. But we offer this to the Lord, these few hours, in order to say, "Lord Jesus Christ, for this one week, I am going to walk with you. I am going to go with you to the cross. I am going to endure these things with you." It's a difficult thing, but one that the church offers us every year as a way to experience over and over again the things that the Lord has done for us. The resurrection of Lazarus was, of course, it's like a shot in the arm after 40 days of fasting. I always love the liturgy that we had yesterday because it's so exalting. Even though it's on a Saturday, it's completely resurrectional. We sing all the resurrectional hymns. And interestingly enough, whereas yesterday we sang "Having Beheld the Resurrection of Christ," today on Palm Sunday, we don't, because we're not experiencing the resurrection. We're experiencing the proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Lord of the universe. The church has it all mapped out for us so nicely, so perfectly. All we have to do is follow it, and we partake of the things that the Lord Himself partook of. Our lives are the same way, aren't they? If you look at the life of the Lord, it was a series of ups and downs. Things that were wonderful that happened to Him and He was acclaimed, and just as suddenly it turned around and people were chasing Him, trying to stone Him to death. And now they love what He's doing and they're welcoming Him into Jerusalem, and yet very soon they're all going to turn against Him. They're all simply going to say, who is this man? No, don't free him. Free that guy named Barabbas, that murderer of a Roman soldier. Free him instead. What a change of heart. One of the reasons we go through this Holy Week is so that we will learn to not have that type of change of heart, but to know that we will stay with the Lord no matter what the ups and downs are, that we will always be with Him, that no matter how difficult it gets, we will stick with Him, knowing in a way that even the disciples did not, that it ends in our resurrection. It's an incredible thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that we should take to heart. And we should weep as we go through this Palm Sunday procession today, thankful for the things that God has given us. Because what He has shown us in this whole history of salvation is that through the ups and the downs, through the cheering, through the derogatory comments that are made, He is with us always as long as we unite ourselves with Him. There's a wonderful saying, I don't know where it comes from, some of you might, but I've always thought that it fit the Christian life so beautifully. And that is that our lives are not supposed to be about how to avoid the storms, but our lives are supposed to be about learning how to dance in the rain. Amen.